You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. On this Sunday, August the 8th, I am Mike, joined by Tom Ernest from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Tom, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mike. We got a little bit of closure on some drama, and the Dolphins move forward with their number one guy in the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good day to be a fan of the Miami Dolphins, and we'll jump into that here at the start. But first, want to give a shout out to everyone who is watching over at FinHeaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet, and also our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, or group, I should say. Everyone go check out the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group on Facebook. And if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and smash that like button. So the big news from Sunday morning was the Miami Dolphins and Xavien Howard and his agent came to terms on a rework of his contract. And essentially, two things here. Xavien Howard, if he meets certain incentives, can be the highest paid cornerback in the NFL in 2021. And also, the Miami Dolphins didn't totally resolve this issue. They kind of kicked the can down the road to 2022, as they're going to have to address this again next offseason. But at least for 2021, the one thing you know for sure is Xavien Howard will be on the field for the Miami Dolphins. He will not be traded, and he's going to be highly motivated for a number of reasons in 2021 to play well and put up another season like he did in 2020. Here's a little bit of the information for those who might have missed it on Sunday. The Miami Dolphins waived and got rid of, rescinded $93,000 worth of minicamp fines Howard had racked up. Howard is now will get a $1 million incentive if he makes the Pro Bowl or if he is All-Pro. There's another $2.5 million in additional incentives for the season. I'm not going to go through everything. It's very tedious. Comes down to certain categories, how Miami ranks, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, Xavien Howard can make upwards of $16.285 million in 2021, which would make him the league's highest paid cornerback this year if all the incentives are met. Now, once again, if Xavien Howard on Wednesday blows out his knee and he's out for the year, he gained absolutely nothing by all this news from today. So in that regard, which obviously nobody wants to see him blow his knee, I'm just making a point. In that regard, Howard didn't get anything really guaranteed except for the minicamp fines waived. So it's all incentive-based. So for the Miami Dolphins, that's something you can live with, because if he meets all these incentives, that means, Tom, he's having a great year. He's going to put up a year probably very similar to what he had last year.
Yeah, 100%. You know, he is $3.5 million highly motivated to make sure he performs at equal to or better than last year, because those incentives for him is making him the highest paid corner in football. I like how the Dolphins structured it. Xavien Howard now has an agent who understands, I guess, how to read contracts and whatnot, but I think this is a big win for the Dolphins. And, you know, at the same time, if they get Xavien Howard from 2020 healthy and performs and gets the 10 interceptions or just is an absolute ball hawk, not saying he's going to repeat that. Obviously, we'd love to see him repeat it. But if he gets close to that, that means the Dolphins defense is going to be where they were last year and obviously adding all the extra pieces. But the key piece to this Dolphins defense is the corners, because they love to play man. They love to do that cover zero blitz, which requires your guys to be one-on-one. Xavien Howard was phenomenal last year. Byron Jones had a good year. He wasn't obviously to Xavier Howard level, but with both of those guys in the fold, they are in a better spot. But in my opinion, the Dolphins did this after standing firm, after witnessing weeks of practice. They didn't like the depth behind them. They don't believe Noah Igbinoghi is ready to potentially play that long-term role, which if Xavier Howard held out or whatever else, Noah would have been the guy. At this point, it doesn't seem like they feel he is ready to be there. They need a little more time to develop him. It's a win-win. The Dolphins get their guys back, and I'm excited to see what this pass defense is going to do this year.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Howard and his agent get anything if Noah Igbinoghi would have had a strong first year or two of training camp. The fact he has been, and I know it's early, I'm not writing the kid off, I'm not saying he's a bust, but the fact he has played so bad the first 2 weeks of training camp really helped Howard's situation here, because he just hasn't been good. Noah Igbinoghi has not been good. You can make the excuse he's a second round. He's a second year player, this, that, and the other. You know, he's a first round pick. And well, first round picks come in with levels of expectation higher than what this kid so far has shown. Again, it's early. Maybe when they get to September and it's time for the real games, he's great. But as of right now, there's not one sign on God's green earth that that will happen.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. You know, there's an old saying that iron sharpens iron, right? The Dolphins wide receiving corps right now, as it looks in camp with the way Tua is slinging the ball and these guys are performing against the secondary, that's helpful, right? For a guy like Noah Igbinoghi to play against high-level talent on the practice field to translate it into Sunday, it will help him get better. We'll see. You know, the time will tell with Noah. But like I said, iron sharpens iron. You go against some very good route runners in practice, that helps you prepare for guys like Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley in Buffalo, because those two absolutely torched us with their route running, and obviously the play calling from Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. But I think Noah is going to take the opportunity, the same as like Tua and the other rookies that didn't get a chance to play in the preseason games last year. We get preseason games this year. This will allow them to prepare themselves going forward into the regular season.
Yep. Now, at the top here, I said, and some of you might be wondering, why do they say Miami kicked the can down the road to 2022? And here's why. As part of this deal, I just told you about the numbers for 2021. Here's the numbers for 2022. Xavier Howard gets $500,000 in per-game roster bonuses and $100,000 in workout bonuses moved to his base salary in 2022. That's all guaranteed. His $12.975 million salary in 22 is also all guaranteed for injury and fully guaranteed by the first day of the league year. So, and plus, that gets a little confusing. Let me go to the next number. $6.775 million of Howard's 2022 salary is fully guaranteed at signing. Meaning, and then it was reported by pretty much everyone, that as part of this rework, Howard and the Miami Dolphins, Howard was told by the Dolphins, he has assurances the club will renegotiate a new deal in late February or early March following the 2021 season, in line with the market based on a cornerback's health and 2021 performance. Now, the key word in that statement is late February, early March. Why is that? Because that is prior to the new league year. New league year hasn't been announced yet, but it's usually around like March, anywhere from 8th to the 15th, somewhere around there. So late February, early March lines up with that, because as we said here, 6.7, his contract goes fully guaranteed on the first day of the league year. If they want to move him, that trade would have to be next offseason. That trade would have to be announced late February, early March, to where it becomes an active trade on the first day of the new league year. Let the new team handle his new contract and all that stuff. So essentially, here's how this is going to play out. And this had kind of been rumored this week. I know a lot of places didn't really report it, but it was rumored that the Miami Dolphins were going to give him a little something extra this year, which they did through incentives, though. And at the end of this year, they will either rip up his contract and, you know, let him and break the bank, pay him $17 million a year, $18 million a year next year, or they're going to trade him in the offseason. So that's where this is leading. And I know a lot of fans of the Dolphins on social media got mad when they read that today, and I'm not sure why. Howard, if he, once again, healthy and plays well, he will be the highest paid cornerback in the NFL in 2021. Why that's a big deal, I don't know. But once again, this late February, early March assurance from the organization that he will get a new deal based on the market, his health, and his 2020 performance means they're going to rip up the contract, give him a whole new deal, break the bank, or they're going to trade him. And those are the only two options. If you're thinking they don't have to do anything after the year, that's not what this was said. That's not the understanding. That's not the verbal agreement between the organization and Howard and his agent. And this is not the type of verbal agreement, Tom, that you want to go back on to be back in this mess next year. This is one you want everyone crystal clear on. You know, Howard said he didn't understand last contract. Well, I hope he understands this, because that's the type of thing you want everyone on the same page. So at the end of the season, late February, first part of March, we're going to be back where we are now, but it won't drag on all offseason. It's going to be resolved in March.
Well, you know, around the league, players, you know, look after each other. They're friends with guys. You know, Xavier Howard's friends with this guy or that guy. Those guys are going to be free agents at some point, and they always have their finger on the pulse around the league. So when they see, hey, you know, the Dolphins – settled up with Xavier Howard. That's awesome. Let's see if they keep their word of renegotiating the deal if he has another season like he did. And if that happens and the Dolphins do it in good faith, free agents, those agents for those players are going to be in contact with the Dolphins. They understand how they do business, and it's an organization that people want to play for. And, you know, and they want to come down here because the team is obviously becoming good at this point. So I think the Dolphins aren't going to back out on that, but they are going to do their due diligence. If Xavier Howard has a tremendous year, the phones are going to be ringing for him, you know, because they know the situation got messy. He demanded a trade. He's happy right now. In the offseason, the Dolphins will make their determination. Is Noah or whoever ready to take over the role? And is Xavier Howard expendable? We know at this point, obviously, he was not expendable by any means. The Dolphins needed to keep him. They made him happy. In turn, Xavier Howard is happy to stay in Miami, and now we see what happens.
Yeah,
hopefully, hopefully a 10-interception season is what
exactly. He plays well this year, plays lights out, they will have no problem ripping up his contract and paying him $17, $18 million a year long-term and giving him a whole new deal. That's great. Again, so that's why I didn't understand why so many fans of Dolphins are mad, but there is the other option to where, you know, after this year, say he gets hurt, or say he misses half the season, or say he doesn't have a great year, say he takes a step back this year, regresses some, there's a chance they could trade him in the offseason. And that's, you know, those are the two possibilities. This notion that Miami's got, you know, can just sort of make him play next year under what the new deal is, and that's not what was agreed on. So, I don't know why some fans on social media got so mad about that. It was pretty much said next February, March, we're going to readdress this and solve it once and for all type of deal. And there's a lot of outcomes that could come from that. One of which is a trade. One of which is he gets a new deal. But one of which it's not, is just force him to play 2022 and be back in this situation next year this time, because that's sort of not what it is. But overall, fans of the Dolphins, don't worry about that. That's a next year problem. We have real games in about a month. This year, Xavier Howard's happy now. He's here, and he's going to be highly motivated to play well. So that's a good thing for the Miami Dolphins, because they need another – we hope this offense takes a big leap forward. I actually think it will take a – I don't know about a big leap forward. It'll take a leap forward. And for this team to win 10, 11, 12 games, they need the other side of the ball not to be a concern. With Xavier Howard out there, it's not a concern. So a good day for the Dolphins.
100%. You know, now, you know, Xavier Howard can get back to business. There's no more distractions. Let's get this thing moving in the right direction. We got, you know, first preseason game Saturday afternoon against Chicago Bears in Chicago. This is the first test. It's a litmus test, right? This is what we've been waiting for. We want to see this team against competition, not themselves. And let's see if they can keep the momentum going. I doubt we see any Xavier Howard in this first preseason game.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of guys in this game, because they have.
My expectation is the starters, being offense, like Tua and a few of the other guys, they get a series or two to start getting some work in, and then they're done. We're going to see Jacoby Brissett and Reed Sinnott and all the other guys fighting for a roster spot the rest of the way. But, you know, the preseason game two is really where, you know, the focus is going to be, because I think that's where they're going to get the bulk of their time. And we'll see where this team stands going into week one against the Patriots.
Yep. There was a report out, now switching topics, Sunday morning from NFL insider Michael Lombardi. And the report is this: in talking to teams around the league, sounds like Miami is looking for offensive tackle depth and is willing to make a trade. I'm sure they aren't the only team looking for quality tackles. So essentially, the Miami Dolphins right now with their offensive line, you know, the starting five, we can talk about how it's lining up right now, because it does. I mean, it's nothing's officially set in stone, right, but it looks like Liam Eichenberg is going to be your starting left guard. And it does look like that Michael Dieter will be your starting center. And it does look like Jesse Davis is your starting right tackle. I mean, nothing's official, but through training camp thus far, that's sort of been how they've rolled out every day, and they really aren't changing up some. So where Miami's kind of hurt here is Fluker goes down. Nobody could foresee that. He was sort of banked on being a backup swing tackle, and he can play a little guard. That would, you know, be nice if he was there. He's not. He was cut, not coming back. Solomon Kinley has been working with the third string pretty much the entire time. Now, this past – now, yesterday and today, he did get bumped up to second string. Still, people expected Solomon Kinley to start and for Liam Eichenberg to play right tackle. That doesn't look like it will happen right now. And the one free agent signing they had in Matt Skira, you know, he's been down with the third string the majority of the time. So that's been – so those three things – with Fluker, Solomon Kinley, and Matt Skira, just it's not looking good when it comes to depth. And with guys like Matt Skira, Solomon Kinley, they're interior guys. So when it comes to your first guys off the bench, you're looking at Adam Pankey, Timon Paris, Larnell Coleman, who was drafted as a late-round project, you know, but he's had to play some with the first string because they literally have no backup offensive tackles that you really can trust. The Miami Dolphins need depth on this offensive line right now in a bad way. Now, thankfully, they have a month because they don't have to play a real game here until, you know, September, was it 12th or something like that. But, Tom, you know, we go into each year talking about this offensive line, and we've invested so many earlier on draft picks in offensive line. We hoped Robert Hunt would be a long-term right tackle. He's not. Now he's going to be right guard, which is fine because got to have a quality right guard.
He played guard in college. And he played majority of his time as guard. So.
And from the sounds of it, he's been great so far in camp. Hasn't really made mental mistakes. He's been great, which is fine. Then we trade up in round two for Liam Eichenberg. Now, if you're trading up and around, this one thing, once again, social media, people got a little upset about it. I don't know why. You know, Tom, which has more value, offensive tackle or offensive guard?
Tackle.
Well, if you're going to trade up in the early part of the draft for a player on the offensive line, it's usually not a guard. We give up a third-round pick, move 8 spots for a guy who's going to start at left guard, which, again, maybe in like Laremy Tunsil. I know people use an example, but we didn't trade up for Laremy Tunsil. He fell in our lap. So if you're going to trade up for a guy, it's usually, you know, in the first part of the draft, usually for a guy who plays offensive tackle, he's going to start this year at guard at least. Doesn't mean he'll be there forever, but okay. Now we still have, now Jesse Davis, a right tackle. He's fine. He's, you know, he's not awful. He's not great. He's just a guy. You know, he's just a run-of-the-mill offensive lineman. And there is no depth on this offensive line right now on August 8th, and that's kind of concerning.
It's the same story every single year. You know, we don't. We feel as fans that the offensive line may have been fixed. We got some guys here that can play. We got some youth that's developing. And here we are. You know, we're talking about the offensive line once again, what feels like for, you know, 14th straight season of trying to figure out how we can fix the offensive line and how we can be more effective up front, not only just for the quarterback, but to open up the running lanes for the running backs. And it is alarming. You know, I had Eichenberg penciled in as the starting right tackle going into the season. And now seeing him being shifted around to guard. Yeah, he's still moving around to tackle at times and practice.
He's mainly left guard now at this point, which is fine. Once again, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the trade up for it.
Right. You know, my worry at this point is what's going on with Solomon McKinley? Because last year at the beginning of the season, he was playing very well. He was one of the better young guards in the game in the first few weeks. He hit the rookie wall just like everybody else. And, you know, playing with the third team and second team, and hasn't even really had first team reps. I don't know if this is the Flores way of motivating him to get to the starting role or what, but I've been a proponent, and I've said many times on the show, I no longer want to see Jesse Davis protecting my left-handed quarterback or right tackle. No, thank you. I need somebody else. And Eichenberg didn't give up a sack last year at right tackle or left tackle playing at Notre Dame, protecting Ian Book. So, and he played hurt. I want to see him at tackle. You traded up for the guy to be your tackle, and now you're switching him to guard. We had this experience, Mike. We've seen this experience of taking a tackle, moving him to guard. Laremy Tunsil was a project there. It worked, thankfully, but he also had Brandon Albert playing next to him. We can't keep switching tackles to guards. Let's just put the tackles where they need to be and develop a damn guard that can move somebody up front and open up these running lanes.
Well,
so yeah, I don't blame the Dolphins for looking. I hope they do find somebody. But at the end of the day, you know, you wasted to move up to get Eichenberg to play guard doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and that's, in my opinion, slightly annoying. It's not the end of the world or anything. What really, really annoys me is that we have no depth on this offensive line. It's all young guys, mainly young guys, first, second year players.
Right.
We are paying $6 million for Eric Flowers to play in Washington. You're telling me Eric Flowers couldn't be a good guy on the bench for Miami? He couldn't help us this year coming off the bench? Why are we paying him to play for Washington? Yeah. You're telling me we had to let go. We couldn't re-sign Ted Karras, who wasn't great last year, don't get me wrong. But good God, Matt Skouras, we're on the third string. You tell me Ted Karras couldn't be the second string center, even if you wanted to go with Michael Dieter. Here's something with Ted Karras. Newsflash, folks, he ain't starting with the Patriots. So if he ain't starting with the Patriots, he sure as hell could have sat on the bench for us. It's like and we're not talking huge money here with, you know, Flowers, Ted Karras. It's like I don't understand the logic behind some of these moves. And I think, you know, I know fans this time of year just want to hear happy, happy, joy, joy. We're going to win 12 games. But, you know, these are fair questions and fair criticisms of the front office. Like, why are we in this boat? We had an entire free agency period. We had an entire draft period. And we still don't have a swing tackle now. I know nobody could foresee Fluker getting hurt, but was it a house of cards that we all put in with Fluker where if he goes down, oh boy, we got nothing. I mean, nothing. And once again, nothing against guys like Adam Pankey, but is there a lot of confidence there? If somebody goes down, you want Adam Pankey protecting Tua Tagovailoa? I mean, I don't. Once again, it's not hitting the panic button post, you know, because it's not. Because once again, it's August 8th. There's still time to make moves. Maybe they make a trade. I don't know what team trades offensive tackles, though. That's rare. And even when you look at center, Tom, Michael Dieter doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me. I got to be honest. I don't know if he's really a first-string center or if Matt is just so bad that they have to put somebody first-string center so Michael Dieter's next man up type of deal. I don't – that kind of scares me the most.
Yeah, you know – Dieter hasn't been good his first few years in the NFL. That's not
terrible in 2019.
That's not even a secret, you know. But at the same time, Mike, how many guys were really good in 2019 for the Miami Dolphins?
I don't know, like, but he didn't have to be that bad.
I think giving him a shot to finally earn a job is great. I think that he needs to perform. Would love to see what he can do on the field against the Bears defense. Granted, you know, everybody's going to run vanilla. Everyone's going to kind of take it easy.
We'll learn more about that, though, in the joint practices this week. Not so much the preseason game. I don't care.
Right, but the joint practices, you know,
they're going to find stuff out.
Yes. I think for the most part, they have to figure out what they have in this first preseason game before they can move and say, all right, who has a tackle available? Who's the 30-something-year-old guy that we can go grab for like a 6th, 7th round draft pick? That's what they're going to be looking for, because most teams that are willing to move on from a tackle have someone in place to replace that guy already, and they're ready to put him, that person, in the starting spot. So then someone becomes expendable. So they are definitely keeping their eyes and ears out there to see who may become available if this offensive line performs poorly. In the first game against the Bears, it would be time to start hitting the panic button. I know, hey, it's the first preseason game, give these guys time and whatnot, but if they're already shopping for one, you know it's not good. So let's see what they can do and how these guys shuffle around. But damn it, I want Eichenberg at right tackle. And if push comes to shove, throw Michael Dieter at guard and put Matt Skura in, unless Matt Skura really has the yips like he did last year with Baltimore, which we haven't seen any reports that he's had the yips, but the fact that he's on third string, it's kind of alarming.
It's not good.
In my opinion.
No, I mean, I don't know. It to me, even, like I said, if they want to play Liam Eichenberg at left guard, I'm really fine with that. It just makes a trade a little bit of a head scratch, but whatever. It's not the end of the world. I'm okay with that because it means on your left side, you got Austin Jackson, Liam Eichenberg. You might have a solid 1-2 punch there. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Jesse Davis, if they want to go with him at right tackle for one more year, once again, not the end of the world. To me, though, they have no depth behind any of these guys. It's like, what do we do all offseason? What do we do? I mean, to have no depth at all. They have none right now. I mean, Solomon Kinley, okay, maybe by the time we get to week one, he's your first offensive lineman at the bench at either left guard or right guard. Okay, but I don't know. I mean, if he's I don't know. So we'll see. But they do need something, because you cannot go with your first offensive tackle off the bench being guys like Timon Paris, Larnell Coleman, and Adam Pankey. That's not good.
It's not a murderer's row of tackles.
No, it's not. It's not. And, you know, what happens if something happens to Hunt? Then what the hell do they do?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, talk about a total reshuffle. Oh, yeah. All right.
I don't think I want to think about that anymore.
Exactly. It's that time in the show, Tom.
Here we go. Let's go.
The time people are waiting for. The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in the summer. You know what isn't, though? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends from Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com, using the promo code DolphinsTalk, saving 20% on your order and getting free shipping. That's right. You save 20% on your order, whether it's a large order or a small order. You save 20% off the price and you get free shipping. Talk about a world-class dismount into a post-quarantine world. This package is perfect. This package is the perfect package for your package. Let me say that again. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor with a new multifunction on-off switch, which can engage in a travel lock. And also, it gives you the ability to turn the 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities. The package also comes with the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon. After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulation, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, as they are the key to feeling victorious this year. Everyone go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20%, get free shipping, and you save 20%. And we also, not we, well, yeah, we, because we are proud sponsors of Manscaped. They will ship to Europe, South Africa, Australia, everywhere, Canada, the United Kingdom, our good friends in the United Kingdom. Hey-oh. Well, they ship everywhere. So for those of you listening globally, go to manscaped.com, save 20%, and get free shipping. All right, Tom. Miami Dolphins had a practice on Sunday, and a lot of news came out of this practice. First off, regarding the practices, the Miami Dolphins are off on Monday, and Tuesday is a travel day to Chicago to get up there and start with those joint practices. The bad news out of Sunday's practices is Hunter Long went down, had to be carted off the field with a leg injury. I heard each report. I heard one report was a right leg, one report was a left leg. Honestly, it doesn't matter. If it's just a leg injury, he had to be taken off on a cart. No official word, but when you're taken off on a cart, it never ends well. So Hunter Long, who knows? Devontae Parker wore a red jersey, which means he could not be touched on Sunday, which is fine. But honestly, with Parker, I don't care if he does anything in the preseason. Just show up healthy week one. It's all I really care about. Yep. Albert Wilson, he also did not practice as he is on modified duty and a management program. They're not going to work him too hard in these practices. Jalen Phillips and Will Fuller, still spectators. They are still not ready to return to practice. Brandon Jones, he hurt his ankle. He did not practice. But two guys did return to practice. My boy, Andrew Van Ginkle, and running back Malcolm Brown, they did return. A lot of injuries there, Tom. Once again, I don't think anything's obviously outside of Long. I don't think anything there is anything to be really concerned about. And once again, it's August. Nobody cares what happens in these practices. Nobody cares what happens in preseason games. Get to week one healthy, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah, the Long injury is tough because, you know, he was having a very, very good camp at this point. Obviously, the severity of the injury, we still don't know yet. But you, like you said, when you're carted off the field, and he was obviously very distraught from the photos I saw of him on the cart with his face in his jersey, it looks like he was upset. Looks like it could be something more significant. And losing him is not, you know, ideal, right? So, obviously, you have Mike Gesicki, you have Durham Smythe, you have Adam Shaheen. Those are your three guys last year. They have to have another guy step up, or they have to go tight end hunting again to see if they have someone else that could fill the role. But
well, it's going
to
be interesting.
We'll see what happens with
Hunter is Long. With Adam Shaheen, who, you know, he – once again, we don't like talking politics. If you don't want to take a vaccination, nothing I say will change your mind, so I don't really care. But he's one of these guys who does not want to get a vaccination shot, and he feels, you know, it's whatever it is. If Long's healthy, I was pretty certain that Adam Shaheen might have been like one of the last cuts because they have a deep tight end room, and who needs that kind of risk around your locker room and around some other players? I know people with the vaccine still get COVID. I know. I get it. Don't send me nasty emails and tweets. I get it. But playing the odds, if you're unvaccinated, you obviously have a high risk. So I was pretty certain. I mean, if I had a guess, that would have been my guess. Now with this injury, say it is as bad as some of us think it is. I think Adam Shaheen probably ain't going nowhere. And he might have a little bit of job security, vaccinated or unvaccinated. So I think that's one thing that, once again, who knows with Long, but if
as long, you know, with Shaheen, as long as he follows the guidelines that are set for him, like they did, they had to do last year, then, you know, no harm, no foul, no big deal. Obviously, if the guys around, if a COVID situation happens, just like it did last year, a room gets taken out, the other guys get taken out with it. So, A lot of moving pieces, but losing Hunter Long potentially for the season, you know, obviously it's speculation at this point. You can see the reaction on the field, the guys going up to him, you know, patting him on the back on the cart, not a good, not a good sign. I'm assuming that it could be a long-term injury. We'll see when the report comes out Monday or Tuesday. Most likely we'll find out more info.
Yep. In the practice on Sunday on the field, Matt Collins had another impressive day. He's been playing really well of late. A lot of wide receivers in Miami, but one of these guys between Matt Collins and Foster are probably going to make this roster based on special teams ability, because they need someone to be someone who can run down the punts, run down kickoffs, and that's where they kind of excel with their speed and size and such. And the fact he's playing so well at wide receiver as well is a sign he might actually stay around here in 2021. So we had another good day. Tua overall played well. And he's played well pretty much this entire camp. No major red flags. Now, on Sunday's practice, there was two plays in a row where he threw interceptions. One of them was just a bad throw by Tua. It was on his fault. The other one was a miscommunication on the play overall. So two plays in a row with interceptions. That's been the first time since the first training camp practice where he's thrown multiple interceptions in one day. So the fact it's only happened twice so far is promising, and it did happen today. One his fault, one deemed not his fault. So overall, he's had a solid training camp and looked well, and once again today, no major red flags. He's been playing well. Javon Holland has been pretty much the first string safety since they started training camp, and he's, from people who are there, has improved each and every day. And it's, you know, he had one of the interceptions today. The other one went to Eric Rowe. He had the second interception. And Holland seems to be he's going to lock down a job here as the starting safety, which that sounds very promising. Grant and Ford also played well. See, with having so many wide receivers out, like no Parker, no Wilson, no Will Fuller, all these other guys are getting loads of opportunities to play. So when you hear things like Matt Collins played well, Grant played well, Ford played well, yeah, because they're getting more opportunities than they normally would. And those guys, once again, have played well. The rookie running back, Jared Doakes, has opened some eyes here the past week. Don't know if he's, once again, is he going to start? No, probably not. But could he win a starting job? Absolutely. So something there to watch. And that's pretty much what I have down for the notes here from Sunday time. Anything you want to jump in on?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously everyone's, you know, all amped up with Tua, you know, having a very good training camp in his second year. The interception stuff, you know, who cares, right? This is a guy, or it's really practice. any quarterback, is going to fire passes in that he shouldn't be making in any games because, A, you're trying to figure out timing. B, you're trying to figure out if you can squeeze balls into those tight windows. So the fact that he threw two picks today, I don't care. I really don't. If he's throwing picks in games on Sundays, I care because those games really matter. But in practice, quarterbacks, just like a pitcher trying out a knuckle curve like he's never thrown it before in practice, or, you know, coming out of the bullpen, practicing new things. You want to try to see what you can do and what you can't do. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? If that's a throw he cannot do on the regular basis, then he's not going to go do that in that kind of situation. If it's 15, 20 yards down the field and, oops, I can't squeeze it into triple coverage, not many quarterbacks can. That's just the way it is. So I really don't care about the interceptions. I didn't care when he threw five or six interceptions in the monsoon back in June. I really didn't care about that either. It's just all overreaction. Let the guy practice. Let's see what he can do on the field through these three preseason games. And is it going to translate to W's on Sundays? You know, that's the most important thing. Javon Highland, I'm excited for him. I think he's going to be a good player. How soon he can help this defense is going to be vital based on the fact that they let Bobby McCain walk, who was the starter there for the last 2 years, and just said, we drafted this guy, we're cutting you, we're going to move on. We feel like this kid is going to be the real deal. He's going to have to prove it, but just based on the reports that he's improving every single day is a great sign that he's learning and he is going to develop in this defense. And, you know, we need Javon Holland to be a tremendous strong safety. Period. End of story. The Mac, you know, the wide receiver situation, Mike, I look at it like this. It's good that you have this problem where you have enough talent in the room where you're going to have a hard time figuring out who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. But you now also develop trade chips. You have an opportunity now just to say, you know, look at a guy like a Mac Hollins. You know, if he performs amazing, but they feel like maybe Robert Foster makes more sense to keep Mac Hollins for a backup guard or tackle. That's a trade some teams will make if they need wide receiver depth, right?
I don't know.
It's a depth move. It's a depth move. It's
here's the thing. In about 3 weeks, the market's going to be flooded with a ton of wide receivers like, you know, Mac Hollins, Foster, Grant. I don't know if a team would actually trade for – I mean
– it's hypothetical.
Would a would a team trade for someone like Grant or Hearns? Maybe. I think, guys, when you get to like Malcolm Perry, Lynn Bowden – Hollins, Foster, I don't think teams trade for guys like that. A Grant, they might because how he can do stuff on special teams. Or Hearns, they might because how he can do stuff. Even Wilson, I know he's played great and everyone loves that. If a team, that's a guy a team might really want to trade for. And if you're Miami, like we got all these other guys. Wilson's like our fourth wide receiver when everyone's healthy.
Not based on the camp reviews, it seems like he's born.
When everyone's healthy, he ain't better than Will Fuller. He ain't better than Parker. He ain't better than Waddle. And just from a size wise, I'd probably put.
But
he's like a fourth or fifth. I'm saying they could trade him and still be okay at wide receiver if everyone's healthy, of course. So those are guys who might have trade value. I don't think guys like Mac Hollins in the world, nobody's trading for, because I think every team has a guy like Mac Hollins, and right, half of them are going to be cut. So it's like, why part with anything? I can just wait like a month and just sign one.
That's true. You know, hypothetically, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at what potential the Dolphins could offer up to get the depth that they're looking for potentially. Obviously, they're going to scour the waiver wire like everybody else. If there's a big guy, you know, a tackle that gets released based on a contract or whatever else, or just, I mean, I hate to say it, but you're looking at sloppy seconds. When those cutdowns happen, it's another team's sloppy seconds. So you want to make sure that you can find quality players and make sure that you really backfill the roster in with enough quality guys, because if you don't have enough quality guys, if your starter does go down with injury, it does make it tough on a team to continue the continuity that they had before that injury happened. So
yeah, and when you look at the spots where, you know, once again, in a month or a few weeks away here, where Miami's going to be looking at to add players. Obviously, offensive line, I think at all three spots, whether offensive tackle, offensive guard, center, running back's going to be a spot where they're going to look for a guy. I actually think, you know, there's a lot of veteran guys out there right now who aren't signed, and they won't be signed until week two of the regular season, because if you have them on your roster for week one, you have to pay them for the entire season. Their contract becomes fully 100% all paid for and guaranteed. So after the Patriots game, week two, that's when they're going to probably look to maybe add like a Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, whoever. I know everyone hates these guys, but they're going to sign one, and there's probably no harm in that, honestly. But they don't want to have their full contract all guaranteed. So I think running back and obviously cornerback as well, because it came out this week that they brought in four guys for tryouts because they are not pleased with the depth of cornerback. And I know it's almost hard to believe. Once again, you got Jones, Howard now, at least for this year, 100% locked in and motivated. Nick Needham's been very good in camp. Noah struggled. And pretty much after those three of Jones, Howard, and Needham, you got Tristan Coleman's been okay too. So there's four there. But we know how much they like to play a lot of cornerbacks and how they like to have a lot of guys there. So they are really trying to find more guys at corner as well. But those are the spots. You're going to look at offensive linemen, running backs, and helping the secondary is where I think they're going to be looking at once we get down to those final cuts here at the end of August, first week of September.
Yep. Well, we got time. You know, let's see what these guys can do in the preseason games. Obviously, let's take it 1 week at a time. Let's see how they handle the Bears. See how they practice against them. Let's see how they play on Saturday.
Thank God it's a 1 o'clock game too for a preseason game. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I'll be at work, but I'll have my headphones in listening to the game as I work. Gotcha.
We will have a post-game wrap-up show on Saturday evening.
Yes.
For everyone.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it. I'll probably end up rewatching the watching the broadcast when I get home before we jump on, so I can physically see what was going on in that game.
It's also going to be interesting too, because Flores was asked about this week, and he actually said, "I don't know yet." Which week they will do a dress rehearsal? Will it be week two or will it be week three of the preseason?
Well,
he actually said, "I don't know," and they haven't made a final. You know, they haven't sort of made up their mind yet. I actually think it will be week three, because with week three, you still have so much time from that final preseason game now to the first game of the regular season. There's so much time in between.
Yeah.
I actually think but that's just a guess on my part. I have no idea. Yeah. It could be week two against Atlanta, but I still think week two might be a little early. But we'll see, because they haven't said yet which one it will be.
What I'll say, Mike, if we recall 2019, Brian Flores had no problem playing his starters in, I think it was the first or second preseason game, quite a while, because he didn't like what he saw. He kept the guys out there. It didn't really matter. He wanted them to get more reps.
Yeah, but now
they weren't performing. But
this is a different situation.
This is kind of a different situation. Yes, this is a team that is on paper a playoff team. So the Dolphins have to they have to get after it. They have to get comfortable. They have to have continuity and perform. If not, Brian Flores, I think, is just going to keep playing them.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain guys who I don't even care if they play in the preseason. Like, I don't care if Howard plays in the preseason. I don't care if Parker plays in the preseason. I don't care if Jones plays in the preseason. They don't need to. Why risk anything? I mean, I'm sure they'll play some, but it'll be very little, if any, because what's the point? I mean, they've been in this league long enough where you're not going to learn anything from them. On offense with the quarterback, I would not have that quarterback out there unless you have whatever you have in your mind is a first-string offensive line. I would not have him out there with any backups on the offensive line, because if he goes down, I mean, in a meaningless game, what's the point of doing any of this? So with Tua, he's out there with only who you deem is a first-string offensive lineman, and I would not even consider having him out there with, anybody else, honestly. That's just dumb. Once again, I know people get excited for the preseason, and it is fun. It's a game. You're lining up against someone else, all this stuff. But honestly, don't read much into this stuff. We've seen years where they've been great in the preseason, stunk in the regular season. We've seen years where they look like they couldn't even tie their own shoes and then show up week one and play lights out. So just the motivation in these games isn't there, especially for veterans. And now this Miami team, unlike the 20, they have a lot of veterans. Well, not a lot. They have a few veterans who they know, don't worry about August, just get to week one. Even with the tight end, I mean, I don't know how much I play him, because, you know, they can't lose him either. So there's a few veterans here I would not play much at all in the preseason. And just let these young kids, Lord knows they have enough of them, let them play and let them learn. And who cares if you win or lose, because it don't really mean, Jack, you know what.
Nope, doesn't mean anything other than, you know, getting those reps in, getting ready for the real games.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tom, as we wrap up here, also want to mention our military contest, which will go to August 31st. If you are either a current member of the United States military, or if you have served previously and a fan of the Miami Dolphins, email me at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com if you want to go to a home game this year. And we will send you to a home game. We will give you two tickets. We will give you a parking pass, and we'll give you a little money for food for you and a guest to go to a home game this year. Now, I can only pick one winner, and we've gotten a tremendous response for this contest. So it's unfortunate I can only do this for one. And you have to also be down there for the game. I can't fly you down there. I am paying for your hotel. I don't have that kind of money. So you got to be sure you get down there. But you can pick any home game you want. Just let me know, and we will send you to the game on us from everyone here at DolphinsTalk.com. There's also another part of this prize I can't mention yet, but it's really, really cool. And you're really, really going to love it for the person who wins. So it's everything I said, the parking pass, food money, two tickets, and there's something else that I should be able to mention here in about a week or two. So if you are in the military, or if you have served in the military and are a fan of the Dolphins, which why else Would you be watching this podcast if you weren't? Email me at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com to enter for your chance to win. Just, I need your name. Why, write one or two sentences why you should win, and also which home game you want to go to. What else, Tom? Plugs. Everyone go to dolphinstalk.com and check out the website. We got a bunch of new writers. We got a bunch of new content, videos, podcasts, and everything like that up. Everyone, be sure to follow Tom Ernesty on Twitter at dolphinstalktom. Follow myself at dolphinstalk. Follow Ian Berger at Ian693_, as he's still fighting it out with the people at Sony and Celine Dion. Everyone, check out. Everyone, also check out the same old Dolphin show with Josh and Aaron Katzker. Aaron had the opportunity today to go to Miami Dolphins training camp, so the next show they do, he will have some insight from seeing them in person and stuff like that. His lightning went out just outside my house. It sounded like a gunshot. So it's probably a good time. You see, it was loud.
Just
yeah, there's a big thunderstorm outside of my house. And I'm kind of hoping it's thunder and not anything nefarious. Everyone, let's just wrap this up. No, it was, I'm pretty sure it was thunder. So I think that's pretty much everything. Be sure just to keep checking out the website, dolphinstalk.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube page. And smash that like button. Everyone, have a great Sunday night. Have a great Monday if you're listening on Monday. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Hands up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.